Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, we're still having music fun, our show opening. Welcome to Three Muses in the Universe. And today I'm here with Sheila Cash and Tierney Sadler, and this is Mary Phelan. We're going to talk about the exciting world of non-duality. Since we are so stuck in duality, it's a whole different universe, to be sure. So where shall we jump in on this very expansive topic? Well, why don't we define non-duality for people who may not be familiar with that concept? Duality versus non-duality. How would you define that, Mary?
Well, I would say it's an expansive view. It's the yin-yang sign. Duality means there's the white, there's the black, there's the white, there's the black. When you see that there are white and black and that the two together create a new thing, it's like a dialogue. Instead of a 3D, 2D binary thing of on, off, a dialogue, that word actually means when two points of view come together and they are discussed and exchanged, it creates a third dynamic called a dialogue. It's not like somebody talking at someone and them listening. It's how the words kind of become a third thing. And that's what I see oneness as, is a third thing, something that unifies the two, the good, bad, whatever pole we want to put in there. So it involves being of a higher mind, a mind that includes more things, is my view. But what are your views, Tierney?
Well, I wasn't even thinking when I heard this non-duality thing. I was like, "What are you talking about?" But now, now that you say it, yes, I do. I do understand what you're saying. So, like the black and the white, they're the third thing is there as a color, or something like that. And I think that we do put ourselves into a duality box here on Earth when really there's only just the one thing. And it seems to me these days like some people, it just seems to me like there's just a greater divide now between people. There are people who are getting it, and then there are people who are just never going to get it. You know what I mean? That their ego needs there to be a duality so that there's some sort of a conflict or something like that. You know what I mean? They need to be right.
Yeah, the good and bad universe is going to cause a war all the time because you're going to be on one side or the other, and you'll never be at peace inside. So how do you describe duality?
I think of it in terms of separation versus unity, that we, as toddlers, I guess, I think toddler age is when we gain a sense of ourselves. And at that point, we begin to see ourselves as separate from everything else in the world. Whereas the baby, the infant baby, thinks that it is part of, it thinks that it is the mother, that it is at one with the mother. There's no separation. Mm-hmm. And this is why babies have separation anxiety, because they feel completely like floundering and lost when they're separated from the mother, because they don't have a sense of separation. Mm-hmm. But then the ego comes in and we develop this sense of separation. And for most people, that sense of separation continues throughout their lives. So that creates the us against them mentality, and as you said, the black and white and the good and evil. So the opposite of that is the non-duality state, which is where you feel not only at one with everything in the universe, but as an integral part of the universe.
Yeah.
So there really is no separation. We're all just, working parts of the kind of whole organism. And then spiritual writers who write about non-duality in that sense really explore the perspective that we that you are creating your own universe and everything in the universe, and this is what we were talking about the other day. So then everything in the universe is your creation, and it is even a step, it's a step beyond, because it's not as if there's an objective universe of which you are a part, but rather you are creating everything. And I think that that would be a fascinating aspect to explore today. If we're creating everything, what is
that's true.
Yeah. What are the implications of that?
Well, if we look at the idea of separation, it's as needed, an exhale is needed as much as an inhale, as we know. But if you look at the story of the Garden of Eden and eating from that tree of knowledge or whatever, that is the awareness of the individual self, you know, that that self-creation. I am choosing to eat this apple or whatever. And then we have the unity. And the devil, as people think of it, is this opposing force that is always trying to keep you separate from unity. Whatever we want to say, whether it's eating, being tricked into eating an apple, or somebody doing something to harm you or stop you from your flight, we see the universe as two opposing forces. And I think therein lies the issue, is us seeing opposing forces,
mm-hmm.
because that is going to determine whether you believe you create life or it's creating you.
And that also,
Florence, well, real quick, okay. Florence Chin even says that the cause of the suffering basically is a view that there are two forces instead of one.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so what if it's the belief in two forces that is really keeping us separate?
Yeah, see, and that's exactly what I was about to say, because I was saying that if you believe in God and the devil, then you, as a human being, are always going to be at the crux of that conflict
mm-hmm.
between good and evil,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it, just imagine what would happen in this world if it became accepted that there was no devil.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, all a lot of religion would kind of have to
war anymore. It takes two people on the
other
side of the room
mm-hmm. exactly.
to have a tug of war.
But it's that belief that keeps us sort of in human conflict, keeps us tethered to all of that. And honestly, I've had you know, what people call evil in my life before, and I've still never seen evidence of a devil in my mind. Or evidence of evil. I see mental illness, I don't see evil.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
You know, so I'm not sure that the devil exists anyway, so as far as that's concerned.
Well, that, you know, the image of the devil is a tulpa that contains all of the emotions that humanity has fueled, you know, projected into it for all of the centuries, the millennia. And it's the ultimate state of duality, like you say. So, you know, if you're not perceiving that, it's because your consciousness has shifted into a, you know, a higher plane.
Mm.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe I can't always hold on to oneness, that's for sure.
Yeah.
but I think that we're moving that way. I mean, I do think that we're moving that way, and then there's also a divide, which is another form of duality. I just think that the gap between the people who want to live in a dualistic universe and those who don't just seems to get wider, it seems to me.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? Yeah, I think so, too.
Mm-hmm.
And here are people that, as we know, every warring faction is all, if you have a firm stance on an issue with an opposing point of view, you can automatically know that you're in duality and get out of it. whether it's the neighbor denting your car or it's the neighbor that keeps borrowing sugar and never pays it back. If you're at odds with something, if you're feeling bad, you know you're caught in duality because it's the right and wrong thing.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is I think the nature of our universe was to explore this. That's why we came in with the forgetfulness.
Yeah.
But if we get caught up in it, and, these are little puzzles for us to emerge from. We're like Houdini, and we get in this little duality war, and then we emerge from it. But if we get caught and identify with that point of view, it's just so rigid, so rigid. Like,
well, our whole system is set up, even the political system is set up that either you're in this party or you're in that party.
Uh-huh.
You know, the independent party is a little more integral, a little more unified, but doesn't have the power yet. And so the sort of, Republican Democrat dominates at this point, but it's always going to be divisive. Why can't we have candidates that are, so to speak, non-dual, or integrated in and of themselves? And again, just even having an independent party is a step in the right direction. But I think that people we're so set up, and the NFL and all of the sports leagues, it's always about us versus them. And the countries, philosophies, religion, it's always about us versus them. So we're born and raised and steeped and immersed, in this quicksand of duality. And it causes all the suffering.
And the force that keeps things separate is resistance. As Buddha said, the cause of all suffering is a resistance to what is. And we only resist things when we feel we have no part in it, no role.
So, no power.
Yeah. I remember there was a science fiction story about a guy that had this whole reality, then he realized he was creating it, and all the people in it were just figments of his imagination, which we now know is there's more truth to that than not. And what I have always found fascinating is where they overlap, the mass events, and how if all three of us wanted to go to a picnic and you wanted it to rain, you wanted it to be sunny, and I wanted it to be overcast, how that wins. In the world of personal reality creation, there's not a zone of conflict. If there's one force, then all of our forces are working together. So how does that work? And I think this is where people get stumped with the idea of unity and we create our reality. Because
in that example of the picnics, how does that shake out in the world of non-duality? I mean, how do you see that? Are we actually experiencing our own dimension of reality then, and it's overcast for you?
I think it is possible for it to be in that extreme, but we all believe in that in a compromise, And so if we are to go into complete unity, we have to make peace with our conflicting choices within ourselves, And I think they're acting out in conflicting choices with each person. I know this may be getting deep into theories and speculation. It's not even an area that I thought about in a long time, but I remember one time that's what I felt held us back from being in a unity world, unity consciousness, is that we all are individuals. We have different opinions. We have different desires and goals. How do they all mesh up? Being a Libra, I think that's been an interesting thing with me. Trying to figure that out. I don't have any answers there, but I do believe that we're working on it.
And what you said about us coming in a dualistic fashion spurns the growth, because if we were all of one mind, would we stagnate? Because where would be the impetus and the drive
to create
and explore and to be better and to grow? And I see that, ego in the dualistic state gives us that, it's the contrast that impels us to either go away from someone or go or be better. That expands consciousness in the universe.
But what if it's not an opposing force, but a complementary force, like the example of you see a foot digging in, not moving, very rigid. This foot's very progressive, it's moving forward. Then all of a sudden that digs in, that's an opposing thing. Okay, this moves forward. But when you look at it as a total, you're moving forward. So what if what we perceive as an opposing force is really a complementary supportive force in the movement forward, as you were saying?
Yeah, and see, what I was thinking when you were saying that, Sheila, was that I don't think that being non-dualistic doesn't mean that you can't still have your pro-choice or pro-life views. It just means that you can accept the other person's views and not try to change them or fight against them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying? Because then they just all become views. So it all comes down to, in my mind, the ego. The ego is what puts us there. So it's the ego that wants you to be right in that situation and to be the one with the right opinion. And if you take the ego out, then it just kind of, it's okay for the other person to not believe what you believe. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
One of my favorite shows this past summer has been American Ninja Warriors. And in that, there has never been an American Ninja Warrior. They have to complete 4 phases, and nobody's ever completed it in the past before. So all the competitors are definitely there competing, but they're competing against themselves, and they're working together as a unit to try to get somebody to become an American Ninja Warrior. You know what I mean? It is like the most supportive competition I've ever seen. They train with each other. They try to help each other win. If they lose and the other guy wins, they cheer for them. If the guy falls off the equipment and his year is over of competition, they cry for him. You know, they're all a very tight-knit thing, kind of moving forward together as a group to create this first American Ninja Warrior. And, of course, they want it to be them. But if it's not them, they want it to be one of the other guys. They want it to happen.
Wow. I read something, so I'm not going to be able to cite any resources, but I can remember reading about Native American tribes, ancient tribes, that were warring with each other, but they would get together for, like, practice combat. And similar to what you're saying there, and they would combat with each other, but not killing, but you know, just practicing skills like you would martial arts, you know, sparring and that kind of thing with each other.
The passion is into the skill and not into winning.
Into the skill, but then you know, but then they separate, but then they end up warring with each other. Now in the sparring phase, they're, like you said, they're helpful. They don't want anyone to get hurt. If somebody gets hurt, they're helping each other. They're not. Their attitudes are more playful, and they're more, you know, at one. But isn't it, it's just hard for me to comprehend that then they were going to walk, and then
you're going to spear the guy.
I mean, that's a crazy universe.
It is.
So let me just throw this question out for fun. If you knew absolutely that non-duality was a real concept, and that you were creating everything, including all of us sitting here and so forth, how would that change your life?
If you knew that
you were creating the universe, that this is simply your creation,
really anything. There's no other people. They're just constructs.
Yes. I think that would be very depressing, because that would mean that I am really alone in all of this, and that you two are imaginary friends, and that I am so far gone that I had to make you up in my mind and make up the dogs and make up the neighbors and make up the people who pissed me off and make up all of that just to...
But look at the implication of that. If you were depressed, what does that mean? Does that mean that the dualistic state actually brings meaning to you? That's what you're implying. That because if it's non-dual, there's no meaning left. Then the dual state for you is a mirror enough to bring you meaning.
Well, I just don't. I guess I see a difference between non-duality and I created everything in the universe. I see a difference between that.
Well, let's let the question be: you created everything in the universe.
Yeah. Well, me created everything in the universe. Yeah. Well, I've already kind of said that. I don't really think that I like that.
I have a long talk with me.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think that it would make for a more loving reflection coming back, and I'll tell you why. It has been a goal of mine to feel genuine love for as many things, as many circumstances as I can. There were times when I couldn't. There was some jerk sitting there doing X, Y, or Z. And so I tried to find some common ground with someone I love, like his hair color or something. And I would picture the love I have for that person, and I would say somebody in the world feels that way about that person. Now, I'm imagining if I created all this, first of all, I would say, wow, I have some choice here. This is what I would change. Secondly, I think the areas that I couldn't change, I would see have to do with me, and so it would help me to go inside to do the tweaking more so than the outside. But I understand what you're saying about that loneliness. But I would find that I would never have to be lonely again.
Mm-hmm. But it's all make-believe. It's not.
But if you're exploring those emotions, then you can explore anything you want to. So if she, wants more love in her life, but
I think negative emotions we feel, like longing and abandonment and fear and betrayal and all that, is because we're seeing that person as not us.
And you're creating, a perspective of duality.
Mm-hmm.
But if that was true, if this was a situation, what area of life have you avoided that if you knew you didn't need to avoid it, you could embrace it?
I have completely avoided romantic relationship in my life.
And so if you knew that you were making it all up, could you embrace that which you've been avoiding?
Yeah, I mean, if I really felt like I had that kind of power, and first of all, I do want to say I do believe that I create my own universe, just not to the extent that I've created you guys. You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean,
feel like we're going to get tired, Mary.
I could change her mind about us. We're going to be disappearing here.
If I could, yeah, I'd have a man that looks like Antonio Banderas and was, you know, a lover like so-and-so and had a personality like so-and-so. And
what would be the belief or force that would prevent you from believing that you deserve that or whatever?
What would be preventing me from? I don't know. You know, I struggle with this. I mean, I don't know that I think that I don't deserve it. I think that I don't want it enough.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Because if you could embrace it, and in a sort of non-duality fashion, then you could embrace it. You could embrace it now.
Yeah, but I already have a make-believe lover that you can plug in and, you know, get everything.
She does create her own reality.
I already have
a non-dual lover.
Yeah, called Bob, but for the battery-operated boyfriend. Yeah, you know.
That was conversation.
I don't know. I mean, that whole thing, that just sounds, that for me, that just sounds really kind of sad, and I would be sad because that would mean that when I die, maybe I don't ever die, but when I die, I'm not going to see the people that had passed on because they never existed because I made them up anyway.
Well, then you
unless
could,
I
yeah,
make
you
them
could,
up in heaven.
You could see them then if you were.
Yeah, and then what's this, you know, I don't know. I mean,
well, what I'm gleaning
yeah.
is that you're intuiting that the dualistic part of your consciousness is bringing meaning to you.
I don't know, though, because I don't see that if you're non-dualistic, then you have to believe that you've created everything and that you two are a figment of my imagination. I don't see the line between those two things. I know that that's like one model, and it's a model that I've considered a number of times, you know, but I don't know that in order to be non-dualistic that's the way things have to be. I think that things can be the way that things are and be non-dualistic. We just need to grow up and, you know, learn how to get our egos out of the way and be more cooperative,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm. So if you're seeing this as the human body and the right foot and the left hand are completely different. They function in different ways. They offer different things, but they're part of that whole rather than the whole being only one body part.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And they can have different goals. They can want sunshine and rain and overcastness. They can have these separate goals, but somehow it always works out to one action in one moment.
Right.
Okay.
And it's a lot easier to walk if you're not moving both feet at the same time and both arms at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it actually is somehow easier to go through with the opposition.
Perhaps just seeing the opposition as complementary instead of opposing.
Yeah, so that's a model of holistic medicine that the Western medicine traditionally looked at each body part as its own pathology and so forth, and, you know, whereas if you have a consciousness of its role and the, you know, integrity of the entire body, that will take.
I remember getting a massage one time. My back really hurt, and the massage therapist said, I'm going to work on your glutes, your rump, for a little while because sometimes that can help. And they worked on my upper thighs and on my butt, and they completely healed my back. They didn't need to touch my back.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So that's
the same.
Yeah,
you know, as the acupuncture.
That
in the feet. That you know, different because all points are connected. And all of us really are connected.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really just a matter of where you want to put your consciousness, where you want to focus and put your perspective.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. As we can tell, this conversation, we could spend many hours talking about it because this really is the underpinnings of reality. So since our time is just about up.
If there is a reality.
It's not up, but the time for the show is up. Anyway, we will be back next month, and you can listen to other episodes in the archive. This was our joy and honor. Thank you, Sheila. Thank you, Terry.
Until next month. Bye.
Next month.
Bye for now.